Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Yashoda Nandana Raja Janana Jana Yashoda Nandana Raja Janana Jana Yashoda Nandana Raja Janana Jana Jagannath Puri Tham Ki Jai. Tulsi Devi, Bhakti Devi ki jai, Jamuna Devi, Ganga Devi ki jai, Samveda Bhakti Vrinda ki jai. All glorious to the assembled devotees. All glorious to the assembled devotees. All glorious to the assembled devotees. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya. Naram Chaiva Narottamam. Devim Sarasatim Vyasam. Prakriya Vakina Gata Shramo Mrade Tamanyamano Nijavirya Shankitam Yatasta Mukto Nriharim Mahasura Punastamasajata Kacha Charmani Punastamasajata Kajka Charmani Punastamasajata Kajka Charmani Punastamasajata Kajka Charmani Prakri Tamanya Mahado Nijavirya Shankitam Tadasta Mukta Vrihadim Mahasura Unasta Masa Chatakacha Charmani Prakriya Vagina Gatosha Momrite Tamanyamano Nijavirya Shankitam Tatasta Mukto Grihanim Mahasura Punasta Masa Jagat Tamanyamano Nijavirya Shankitam Yatasta Mukta Vriharim Mahasura Unasta Masa Jata Katka Charmani Prakriya Vegena Gata Shramonide Tam Him, Lord Nrsingadev Manyamana Thinking Nijavirya Shankitam Afraid of his prowess. Yet, because. Hastamukta. Freed from the clutches of the Lord. Nriharim. Lord Nrsingadev. Mahasuraha. The great demon. Punaha. Again. Tam. Him. Asajita. Attacked. Khadga Charmani. His sword and shield. Prakriya. Taking up. Vegena. With great force. Gatashramaha. His fatigue having gone. Mridehe. In the battle. Translation. When Hiranyakashipu was freed from the hands of Nrsingadev, he falsely thought that the Lord was afraid of his prowess. However, after taking a little rest from the fight, he took up his sword and shield and again attacked the Lord with great force. Please repeat. The sinful man enjoys material facilities. Foolish people sometimes think, how is it that this sinful man is enjoying, whereas a pious man is suffering? By the will of the Supreme, a sinful man is sometimes given the chance to enjoy the material world as if he were not under the clutches of material nature, just so that he may be fooled. A sinful man who acts against the laws of nature must be punished. But sometimes he is given a chance to play, exactly like Hiranyakashipu when he was released from the hands of Nrisimhadev. Hiranyakashipu was destined to be ultimately killed by Nrisimhadev, but just to see the fun, the Lord gave him a chance to slip from his hands. Om Agyana Jivanandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya. Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvetam Sadvatutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Pada Sahagana Lalita Sri Padmitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindo Dina Bando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vansha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitya When Hiranyakashipu is freed from the hands of Nrisimhadev, he falsely thought that the Lord was afraid of his prowess. Therefore, after taking a little rest from the fight, he took up his sword and shield and again attacked the Lord with great force. It's very confusing, the world, don't you think? In many ways, to see how karma is working. As Prabhupada points out here, it's hard to tell who's getting what kind of reaction for what reason. And oftentimes people object. They become angry with God, as it seems as if there's an unjust way in which people are getting karma because they're apparently good, and bad people seem to be getting away with whatever they wish. However, there is an order to the universe. Devotees know this, and they understand it. Bhakti Bhajan. Because of the devotees are engaged in Bhakti Bhajan. They're karma is being eradicated. And that's the difference between an ordinary person and somebody who is practicing Krishna consciousness. An ordinary person is getting the results of karma, and a devotee, or one who's engaged in bhakti bhajan, is getting Krishna's mercy in a very special way. A custom-made for that particular devotee. This is doing. And he will purify me. After all, who knows better, me or Krishna? The answer is always Krishna. That's why intelligent people leave things to Krishna. They take the great risk of praying to Krishna. It's like, you know what to do and I don't. Your plan is better than mine. Therefore, please enact your plan and give me the intelligence to go along with it. And also, when devotees, like Kardamamuni, who was praying for benediction, actually meditated for 10,000 years and became completely purified. But then he admitted to the Lord, when the Lord appeared before him, that I do have one desire, I would like a wife. And Lord Narayan said, I know. I already know that. I've already arranged. She'll be here in 3 days. She's a princess. Everything's arranged for you. And there Prabhupada mentions that when you leave it to Krishna, you do your part, but leave the rest to Krishna, then he gives you a benediction that's much better than what you could have thought of. Hiranyakashipu, on the other hand, he's trying to figure it all out and organize in such a way that he'll have a happy life. But he gets just the opposite. And Prahlad Maharaj mentioned that to his classmates. The moment you start calculating how you're going to be happy in the world, that's when you start suffering. You don't even have to enact it. You just have to start thinking, how can I be happy? And then you suffer. On the other hand, if you surrender to Krishna, as is indicated by Lord Brahma in the whether it seems auspicious or inauspicious, according to worldly consideration, the devotee doesn't touch it. He just says it's all Krishna's arrangement. So in that way, he says, Bhunjana e matma kritam vipakam. Whatever is coming is the Lord's arrangement for me to be purified. And by maintaining that throughout one's life, then one becomes the inheritor of the kingdom of God. This is the qualification for one being eligible to go back to Godhead, is not to identify the agents of one's karma as the perpetrators of one's unhappiness or happiness. As mentioned by Dharma, the bull, as soon as you name that person and you say that's their fault, then you're also complicit. And better to leave it alone and accept that the Lord is controlling everything perfectly. Bhunjane vapa kitam vibhakam hrit bhagvapur viridam namaste. He goes on with his work. What is that work? It's just bhakti bhajan. Glorifying the Lord with his mind, with his words, with his body. And hrit bhagvapur viridam namaste jiveta yomukti pade sadaya bhak. By doing that, then one becomes eligible to go back home, back to the spiritual world. Now in the purport to that verse, Sridhar Swami comments that when a devotee fully surrenders to Krishna, it may appear that the karma goes on. What's this? Just happened to me. Is that karma? And he says categorically, no, it's not karma. It's Krishna's mercy. Because Krishna knows the heart of every living entity perfectly. And he also knows, even after one surrenders, there may be last vestiges, some little idea tucked away somewhere about how I might still be able to enjoy the material world, some little angle. Because after all, every conditioned soul in the material world has a little business going on. Just like those little stands along the road where they sell those, what's that stuff called, betel nut? It comes in little packages? Pan. They have rolls, you've seen them. It's a little shed, and they have rolls of pan, and a little packet. Costs you, I have no idea how much it costs. I'm happy to say. 10 rupees, and you buy a little pan packet. And there's a little business going on. And everybody has some little pan business going on somewhere in the material universe. And Krishna gives an opportunity, Prabhupada mentions in the 5th canto of the Bhagavatam, for every little jiva to shut down his business. It's time to close your little business, your little pond business out of a little shed, no matter what it is, and surrender to Krishna. And so everyone may close the business down, but then they still may be thinking, oh, if I just could sell a little more pond, I'd be happy. Just one more roll of pond I could sell. But Sridhar Swami says, Krishna knows this. He knows whatever tiny little vestige is left, the vestige of desire. And therefore, he custom makes a misery for that person just so that he'll give up that particular thing and be free completely. Just free to surrender to Krishna. Sweet surrender. You can completely give up. So the devotee, it's assured that the devotee is going through this process of becoming freed from the entanglement of the material by Krishna's mercy, but not everyone can see that. It requires deep meditation on the holy names, hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita regularly, every day, in order to be clear that Krishna is moving my life and everything that is happening is by His arrangement. Hiranyakashipu was a great fool, and the iconic materialist trying to organize his life in such a way that he could be happy. And everyone has in the material world some of this in them. They don't see how there is impending danger in everything that they do. In the Bhagavatam, it is said, Ahastani sahasranam apanani apadani chatushpadam palgani tatra mahatam jivo jiva sijivanam. Every living being is food for another. And one person may be peacefully going along thinking, I'm eating something nicely, and then he doesn't know it. Someone's going to come along and eat him. This is the law of nature. And to that end, in this ignorance that Hiranyakashipu has, that he's been freed for a second, just for a while, Lord Nrisingadev lets him go. And in that interim period, he thinks, now I have the upper hand, now I've gained ground. So this is a big mistake. If one has complete perspective of the world and follows through and sees what is the ultimate result of everything that I encounter in this material world, that devotee will see that there's an ultimate destruction to everything that I'm pursuing here in this world. Madhvacharya mentions that, according to the time factor, you may see a tree and the same tree on fire. It's the same tree, but it's affected by the time factor. It's on fire. So, my friend Satyadev Prabhu told me a story once when he was riding on a train in Japan. And he saw a dragonfly come into the cabin of the train. The train stopped, doors open, and a dragonfly came in. And then they're all finished. And so this foolishness of Hiranyakashipu is thinking that I'm freed from the hands of Lord Nrisingadev. But this is to the devotees, they know that Krishna always wins. We heard in the previous verse that the demigods were a little afraid because they have some vested interest in the material world, and they thought our interests are at stake here. But the devotees were not afraid at all, and they could understand that Krishna will win the fight. And this is the conviction of the devotees, that Krishna always wins. Everybody else loses in the material world, but Krishna always wins. So if you just... one of my mentors in Krishna consciousness, when I first joined the Krishna consciousness movement, Krita Karma Prabhu, he used to take me on Sankirtan, and we'd go different places. Sometimes people would look at us and they'd say, well, what are you guys? And his answer was so nice. He said, oh, we're devotees of Lord Krishna. That's what he said. We're devotees of Lord Krishna. I thought, that's pretty nice, to be a devotee of Lord Krishna. And so those who are devotees of Lord Krishna, they just depend on the fact that Krishna always wins. He wins in everything, and he knows everything. Vedaham samatitani vartamanani charjuna bhavishani chabhutani mam tu veda nakashtana. I know everything. And he can do everything. So if one becomes a devotee of Lord Krishna and just depends upon him and considers that real winning means to surrender to Krishna and do whatever he wishes, then one will be victorious in this lifetime at every step. Otherwise, one loses. There's no winning in this material world at all. As we can see from the greatest materialist of all time, who prepared himself meticulously and had the right lawyers and everything, paperwork is all together, but he lost. So, those are a few thoughts, and now I'll take some reflections and we'll have discussion.
Did you say Krita Karma or Krita Karma?
Krita Karma. And since that's the only question for the day, we'll end class early. Go ahead. Let's hear some more. Reflection. You don't have to ask a question. If you start with reflections, anything that you heard so far from the report or the monologue, then that'll help to build some momentum.
Hare Krishna. You only understand Krishna always being. So sometimes devotees are sick or something. So they sometimes feel that why I got the sickness, why I am having this trouble. So they think in that manner and think that why Krishna is giving this this thing to me, why he is giving all troubles to me. Right?
Yeah, that's the easiest thing to think. Why me? But that's why it may sound deceptively simple. Tate anukampam sisamikshamano. That just accept everything as Krishna's mercy. That's the eligibility to go back to Godhead. Don't ask the question, why me? Rather, take it that Krishna is the perfect administrator of all justice and mercy. He knows exactly how to give us exactly what we need. And if one, even though the mind wants to accuse someone, even Krishna, of giving me some undue misery, if one can adjust one's attitude in life to this is Krishna's mercy, this is what the verse says, then that is tate anukampam. Then one becomes properly situated in one's attitude. Krishna has his, this is mentioned in the commentary to 10.88.8. This is the verse that says, Yasya hamana grinnami harishe tadanam shanai, tato danam tamchan yasya sojanai dukha dukitam. Sojanai dukha dukitam. This Krishna is speaking this verse and he says that when I show my ultimate mercy to my devotees, then I take away all their wealth. And then their own people, Swajanai, turn against them. And he has nothing left in the material world. And someone, from the perspective of a person who has a vested interest in the material world, this may seem too extreme. Why does Krishna have to do that? But actually, when a doctor is taking care of a disease, he has the prerogative to take away the whole disease, so that the person can become healthy again. So whatever happens, whatever comes, one says, Brahma, one should accept it as Krishna's mercy. Prabhu, you go ahead.
Hare Krishna. Just a little clarity, if I could ask, on the giving up the pan business. Obviously the pan business, the substance is pretty domestic, but we've all got that going on, you said, the little pan business. I just want a little clarity whether, you know, I'm thinking, obviously it's a different thing, Gaura Leela, Kalabesha Shukar, he's selling some small banana leaves and bananas. He has his business going on. So what can you clarify what you meant by giving it up? Because surely we all need to maintain.
Yeah, it's something that Prabhupada mentions in the fifth canto when he says that near the end of creation, there is a total annihilation. And Lord Sankarsana thinks about how many opportunities he's given to the living entities for them to go back to Godhead. And then he thinks about how few have taken those opportunities. They're, no thank you, I'm fine. And then he becomes a little annoyed, becomes a little angry. And from that anger, from his eyebrows come the 11 rudras, they burst out from his eyebrows and they start their dance of devastation in order to burn down the universe and start over again. Give the living entities another chance in the Srishti Leela to take Krishna's mercy. So in that purport, Prabhupada mentions that every living entity has a business in the material world, and this life is an opportunity to close down that business. What does it mean? For clarity's sake, it means the enjoying spirit, the idea that I can win in this world. Obviously, one must do one's God-given duty. One may be given some kind of business to oversee or something like that. However, the attitude is that however Krishna helps me or doesn't help me, for instance, if the business goes down, then Krishna's arrangement. I did the best I could. This is mentioned by Prahlad Maharaj. He says, Balasyane hasharadam pitaram nishingha nartascha chagamudham batimajitonya taptascha tat prativedir yaihanjishas tavad vibo tanupritam tanupekshitanam. He says that the parents of children cannot save their children, and that a boat on water cannot save a drowning man, and that a medicine administered by the best doctor cannot help a patient. After all, if you go to a doctor and you say, can you guarantee that you'll cure me? What will your doctor say? No. We'll try not to kill you. That's what they said. But you guarantee that you won't sue me if I do kill you. They can't guarantee anything. But he says that the only factor is the Lord's sanction that someone can be saved or someone can be cured of a disease. And if that's not there, then what can be done? It comes from the Lord. So Prabhupada mentions in the purport, does this mean that one should then neglect one's children? Just let them run free at the Sunday feast at the Hare Krishna temple and don't care for them? Does it mean that you never take medicine? Or if you see a person drowning, you don't try to save them? No, he says, you try, but you understand this is going on, whether it's successful or not is up to the Lord. You depend on His mercy. So the little pond business means my paltry idea that I can rule this world somewhere. And that's what it is. Thank you.
I figure I would be better off to try to maintain my spiritual condition than let it ride like a running Kashi Fu and require a major surgery like he did. So in my mind, though, I'm thinking like the anarthas and like a weed. So if I just cut the top of the weed off, I'm okay. But sometimes pulling it out by the root seems to be a little more difficult, but a lot more advantageous.
Nice point. So it requires a really good association, very meticulous sadhana to get strength to pull the anartha out by the root. Otherwise, Prabhupada mentions in the last purport to the 15th chapter of the Gita that there's what's called the weakness of heart, or WOH, woe, means. He said this is the main disease of a conditioned soul in the material world is weakness of heart. And I can't do it. I see it, but I can't do it. So what can one do in that case? One can then at least give Krishna permission to pull it out. Say, I don't have the strength to pull out that anartha myself. I know it's there, but I'm not willing to do it. I might need that later. That's what it means, maintaining material desires even after understanding so many instructions on the matter. So I'll keep this one over here. But if one chants Hare Krishna and then makes a prayer, Krishna, I'm too weak to pull out this or the other or the many anarthas. Therefore, I'm leaving the door unlocked. While I'm chanting, if you'll just come in and just rip them out, I deeply appreciate it. And those are many prayers to the Lord, like, to Lord Nrsimhadev. Om Namo Bhagavate Narasimhaya Namaste Jastejase Aviravir Bhava Vajranaka Vajradamsha Karmasayam Randaya Randaya Tamo Grasa Grasa Om Swaha Abayam Abayam Atmani Bhuishta Om Shraum. Sometimes people think Nrsimhadev is there to slash and burn everybody who's in my way, who's in the way of my sense gratification. I keep in Nrsimhadev on the dashboard of my car. Get out of my way. But actually he's there to use his sharp teeth and razor-like fingernails to tear out the anarthas in my heart. And that's the prayer, saying, please come in and slash and burn. Pull them out by the roots. Come in and take them out. So devotees pray to Lord Nrsimhadev. Jai Bhakti Vignashan and Sri Nrsimhadev. He removes all the obstacles, and the only obstacles, as we heard earlier, is my own unwillingness to give up my anarthas. So that's a great science, you know, how to chant and at the same time pray to Krishna to please remove my anarthas, because he'll do it. He'll do it. Sometimes people that I've heard in some homes, they say, we have Krishna, but we won't put the flute. Because if you put the flute, then it'll attract us away from our material life. So we want to... devotees mean those who sign up for this program. They say, it's hard, but I want it. Somehow or other, let me make this prayer. Pry it out of my lips. Krishna, come take these anarthas away, please. What else? Yes, Prabhu.
The Lord, the Supreme Lord came as a Narsingadev. Yes. Until we get the Dasana Narsingadev, the Lord look at us. So he'll become purified, right? When we see the Lord, they become purified. We are attracted to the Lord. How come Narsingadev came in front of Hiranyakashipu? Even he saw Narsingadev as the Supreme Lord, the Lord said, my Lord is here. But still, he is not really ready to fight with the Satan. How to understand this?
Yeah, he didn't recognize that was the Supreme Lord, and that was his problem from the very beginning. He was doing all the heavy austerities, but who did he pray to? He prayed to Brahma. He said, Brahma, you're the Supreme Lord. Please fulfill all my wishes. And he maintained that to the very end. So he never recognized the Supreme Personality of Godhead, even though he was directly fighting with him. Yes?
In the Bhaktivinoda Thakur's analysis of Krishna's pastimes, he says that the demons that Krishna kills, then automatically those anarthas will be purified. But the demons that Balaram kills, or the other way around, I can't remember, then you've got to make a special effort. So what is this distinction between those that easily go and those that you have to make a special effort? What is that effort?
Yeah, those that you make a special effort, I mean, this is related to the pastime of Lord Balaram's appearance when he comes into the womb of Devaki, and then he's attracted to the womb of Rohini. It's mentioned there that he prepared the womb of Devaki for the appearance of Lord Krishna, because previously there had been the Shadgarbha Asuras, who represents the kama, krodha, lobha, mada, moha, matsarya. And these are archetypal anarthas. And when Balaram comes, he brings the plow, and he represents the guru. He is the guru, the Adi Guru. And then there's a way in which one has to make a special cultivation for certain kinds of anarthas that are there. And so there's distinctions between one kind of anartha and another, just as there's a distinction in the severity of some of the offenses against the holy name. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur mentions this in his commentary in the sixth canto of the Bhagavatam, where he says there are 10 offenses and 8 of them can be overcome if you just continue to chant. Nama aparada yuktanam naman yeva harantyagam avishani paruttani tanyevarta karani cha. How do you get rid of them? You just continue chanting Krishna's names. But 2 of them, he said, you have to be very vigilant with. One of them is offending devotees. That, he says, you have to suffer for. There's no other way to get purified of that offense. It's extreme suffering. And the other one is committing sin on the strength of chanting. For that also, one has to suffer. So these take extra vigilance and following the order of the spiritual master and the carefully cultivating Krishna consciousness to overcome. So similarly, those anartas from Balaram are in a similar category. Yes, Prabhu?
Hare Krishna, it's a wonderful deep meanings we are getting here. It's a glorious class for the deep. The question is what happened that even though we are situated, we are slowly, gradually developing the knowledge by the Bhagavatam and Bhagavatam and devotees association. But sometimes what happened that suddenly at the time of that moment of poverty situation, we go on the wrong way, but then immediately we realize that we did wrong, we are supposed to do right. So how to control that provoking situation?
Well, not so much, we aren't so much into controlling situations as we are in surrendering to Krishna. And it's inevitable that when one cultivates Krishna consciousness and then comes upon a big challenge in life, that one may be tipped over. That's not necessarily a bad thing. In fact, Prabhupada writes in the light of the Bhagavad that missteps in Krishna consciousness may not be detrimental to one's advancement in Krishna consciousness. They may become the pillars to success. As he used to say, failure is the pillar to success. Everybody knows, even in the secular world, fail forward fast. You have to make mistakes. So it's not so much a matter of always being exactly ready for everything, but it is knowing how to process everything that happens. In fact, sometimes people lose a loved one. There's no way to comprehend ahead of time how much one will be affected when one gets news that, okay, you just lost a loved one. What are you going to do? Just be stoic and say, I don't care, I'm not my body. That doesn't happen. There's a wave that goes through one's body, the knees buckle. One has to sit down. People have to come around and say, it's okay. And then the process starts again. I remember Krishna, I surrender to Krishna, and then I start to take shelter of him again. Arjuna is mentioned to have, after Krishna's departure, been on a mission in which he seemed to have failed. And then, because of his apparent weakness, he then recalled the instructions of Krishna from the Bhagavad Gita, and again he got the strength. So being in balance doesn't always mean, it doesn't mean that you're perfectly still and you can stay in one place. Balancing, you're going back and forth, but you know what the center is, you know what to come back to. And that's one of the main differences that the acharyas mentioned in regards to the suffering of materialists and the suffering of devotees. Suffering a materialist, there's nowhere to take shelter. At the very end, there's nothing there. It's an empty bag. But for devotees, when there's suffering, when there's challenge, they know how to come back to Krishna. And they have good association. So even if they forget, then the devotees will say, it's okay, you can surrender to Krishna. Sometimes devotees, when they're about to die, they haven't quite developed their acumen and being able to stay steady in their bhajan. So devotees surround them and they say, no, you chant now. And they put pictures over their face and they force them to remember Krishna. And this is Krishna's mercy. Shastrakrit Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Even Ananda says she gets disturbed after giving so many
So when you're in group distribution, you try to distribute books and you don't have a good day, and it's naturally like you get also upset with people sometimes. The rub us the wrong way, or you don't take books and that. So is that bona fide or
no? Although I empathize and I understand, because I've had many of those days, but there's an evolution in approaching people. Let's just say in the context you're talking about a book distribution, it's not okay to become angry. In fact, Prabhupada says that what is the verse? Mahatmanas tumo, no. Dwaram yoshitam sangi sangam. How does it start? Mahatsevam dwaram ahuravimuktes tamo dwaram yoshitam sangi sangha. Mahantaste samachita prasanta vimanyavak suridak saravoye. This famous verse from Rishabhadeva says that devotees, vimanyavak, they don't become disturbed or angry or envious with other people. And Prabhupada goes out of his way, you'll notice in the word for word, he extends the meaning of that, and he says that devotees are able to preach Krishna consciousness to others without becoming angry at them. So one thing just about book distribution, going out and meeting people. People say all the time, I'm okay. This can be a little annoying. It's like, here, have a look. I'm okay. I asked Vijay once, I said, people keep saying I'm okay. What do I say now? I say, yeah, I know you're okay, but you can always be better, right? But in any case, there's a way in which one can redefine what success is. When we go out to distribute books, as an example, might as well start now because I'm doing a book distribution seminar at 11 o'clock. When one goes out to distribute books, redefine what success is. Success is walking out the door. If you're able to pass the threshold of your apartment, of your door, of your cabin, of your hut, your tent, your car, wherever you live, in a van, that's success. Be happy that you're able to fulfill this request of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Just go out and meet people. And I teach devotees who are starting book distribution or want to continue it, don't consider that your success is based that everyone takes a book. That's not realistic. And you'll always be tipped over if you think that. Your success is just doing the right thing. Try to be out there for people. And I know for a few years I had to go up by myself because of where I was situated. Every day by myself. So the way I kept sane, I made a little card, and on the card I wrote all the categories of responses that people could have when I approached them. One response was no response. They just didn't acknowledge my existence. So that was a category. And then there's another category. They acknowledged my resistance, but they didn't even want to talk to me. And then there was another category that they acknowledged my existence, talked to me, but they weren't interested in a book. Another category was they acknowledged my existence, they came over, talked to me, and they took a book. Another one was they took a book, they gave a donation. Another one was they took a book and they gave a huge donation. So there's all these categories. And I just kept them on a little card. And then when I go out every day, everybody I talk to, whatever I call, I just make a little mark that, okay, they're in this category, they're in that category. It's all the same. Doesn't matter whether they say yes, no, I hate you, I love you, it's all the same. And at the end of the day, I always filled out my card. It always ended up filling out the same way at the end of the day. So, and even if it didn't, I didn't care because I know there's another day. Sometimes people, I take devotees out on book distribution and they're going, okay, let's see the magic. And I'm going, yes, Krishna, let's see the magic. Where's it going to come from? And one day I was out with some devotees who were going door to door, and then people weren't taking. And one after another, knock, 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 no, I'm not interested. No, I hate you. Go away. And they were watching me for a half an hour, and it was a kind of yoga not to become mental and think, what are they thinking about me? And I just redefined the whole situation. I'm here, it's successful, it's fine. And when I just became detached from the situation, then as usual, the next person said, oh, where have you been all my life? Please come in, please take all my possessions, please give me everything you have, if you have buzzers, shave my head. I mean, whatever it is. That always happens. And so we have to see, not only in book distribution, but in life, the larger picture. If you go on, if you're the tiniest little servitor in the world, and you have your little corner of the temple that you're doing your little service, if you do it with the right attitude and you just go on and don't mind whatever else happens to you, then Krishna will claim you as his own. He'll take you back to Godhead. We're really close to the bell.
Very difficult to get the results of the karma. So many times in our life, we do not understand whether it is the result of karma or it is because of my devotional service, I'm a devotee and it is end of Krishna. And so there is karma, but for Hiranyakashipu, he was Jay and Vijay, there was no karma. So why did he come to all these stages to become a demon? So if you could please clarify these things.
Well, because Jay and Vijay, first they offended Lakshmiji, and then after that, then they offended the four Kumaras, and it was Krishna's arrangement so that he could come to the material world and mix it up in a big way with the demons and have a big fight. So it was Krishna's leela, special arrangement. And those Jayan Vijay who came to the material world were always Jayan Vijay in that pastime, and you'll notice that they're as Hiranyakashipu, for instance, after his brother Hiranyaka died, he came out with the most brilliant Atmatattva Gyan to his family. So, just below the surface, you'll know that there are devotees from Vaikuntha. I thank you very much for your coming here today, your kind attention, and it's been an honor to be in your association for an hour. Hare Krishna. Gaur Premanande. Nitai Gaura Haribo, 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 Nitai Gaura Haribo, Nitai Gaura Haribo, 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 Nitai Gaura Haribo. Vanchakabdhurvishcha kripasindabhevacha patitanam pavanibhyo vaishnavibhyo namo namah.